welcome to Random Gaming Talk. It's Entertainment Talk's podcast for video games. I'm your host, Matthew. Joining me today, my co-host is Roberts. How's it going?
It's going good. How's it going for you?
Going all right. I'm playing a very good video game, which I'll talk about in just a second. But other than that, I'm all right. What have you been playing of the video games?
Been putting a little bit of work into Dragon Warrior 3 Remastered.
Okay.
Not a whole lot. I'll play like 10, 20 minutes here or there. It's a very good game for, you know, I just want a game for a little bit. Honestly, it's one of those games that you could probably have on a Steam Deck and get the most use out of. I just have no interest in buying a Steam Deck. I mean, I never use my Switch, so I don't see the need to spend twice as much on a Steam Deck. A little bit of 7 Days to Die. That's another good one of, oh, I got to catch up on this show, or I want to watch this video, put that on the second monitor, and then play the game on the main one.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So what is it about Dragon Quest that makes it good for Steam Deck? Or would
it was designed, it was originally an NES game.
Mm-hmm.
It would, in the UK and the rest of the world, it was known as Dragon Quest, but in the States it was known as Dragon Warrior. So the whole, you know, looks like a Dragon Ball Z cartoon really didn't kick off till like 5 or 6.
Okay.
So this is more the original artwork to it.
All right. Cool. How's it going in 7 days?
You know, getting my face stomped in. I do have it on a higher difficulty because I do have a lot of hours in it. You know, I wanted a little bit challenging. They did the 2.0 update a while back, and they radically changed a lot of things, especially the price in terms of materials for equipment. They make it way, way harder to get the nice stuff.
Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Well, for me, I've continued playing Expedition, or Clair Obscur Expedition 33, to give it its full title. This game is incredible. This game is really got its claws, if that's the word we want to use, into me. And there's just so many things about it to enjoy. I remember a while ago when you were obviously talking up about it and stuff, and you mentioned the music and things like that, and that's just it's such a combination of so many great things coming together. You've got the intricate combat, you've got the, again, beautiful world, but in terms of, you know, being beautiful, it's got its own, like, just really incredible design. I can't remember the last time I can't remember the last time I, like, whether it's the open world bit, you know, like the open map thing, or the individual levels, not so much with the camp, because the camp area is arguably a bit more simple than like the rest of the game. And because this is something I don't really do in games, is where you actually kind of stand and kind of look around. But it's not just because, oh, it just looks really good or whatever. It really is about the design and kind of just, I think when you see any new detail, whether it's, you know, an enemy, whether it's some fallen expedition members that you see, like from the past, you come across them, or if it's like a random animal in the, you know, in the sky or something, or any like actual physical part of the world, it just kind of, it's not even always the environmental storytelling specifically. It's almost kind of just every little bit that you see kind of tells you something about the world that you're in, and like the specific goal of the design. And you could look at this world and be like, okay, it looks a bit odd, a bit weird, but I don't think it looks kind of, it has more of like a wonder to it. And like, you're walking through with these characters that are really awesome, this music that's really incredible, the, again, the just amazing kind of visual stuff going on. Because you know me, and most people that have at least listened for a chunk of time know that, okay, I don't really care about games that, like, just look beautiful. But when you put the effort into design like this, and you're trying to again, tell me a story with the world that you've built, but also just giving its particular design. Because I don't, I'm not someone who looks at the landscape of something and goes, oh, that looks really good. Maybe I'll do it for about 5 seconds in a game just to see what a game looks like, just so I at least, have that there. But, and it's amazing the kind of, I think draw distance is the word I'm looking for. When you're in more of the open world and you can, like, see it like this big kind of, it's almost like a big table you're looking down on if you've got a certain camera angle. And you can look actually pretty far into the distance, and just see kind of, I wonder what that is over there, and all this kind of thing. So it's got so much good stuff going on for it with that. That and the character designs and things like that, I think is brilliant. I've noticed they did put a lot of work into the actual hair physics as well. Kind of reminds me of when, when Tomb Raider got the, I think it was 2013 reboot, and they put a lot of emphasis on like, her hair can get, messy, or it can sort of react to, because obviously you're jumping around and you're always in like some sort of danger in Tomb Raider, and like the hair physics and stuff. Like I'm noticing in, even when you're just browsing menus and like Mael, for example, who's my favorite character, her and Eske, I think his name is. He's the big guy that helps you navigate the world. They're both really, really cool. And like when you browse certain menus and the characters flip around and like Mael's hair will sort of move in a certain way, it's just it's really, really cool for that. I'm still getting somewhat of a I still feel like I'm very, very early. Just to say where I'm at in the game, by the way, I just got past the end of what's called Act One, and I am an hour and a half or so into Act Two. So for those of you that know the end of Act One, I have witnessed that event, and that was very dramatic, of course. Obviously, no spoilers or anything here.
Yeah, I like to call the end of the prologue and all the acts emotional damage, because that's what it is.
Seems like it, yeah, seems like it. And even just with the cutscenes and stuff, they're so cinematic and incredible. I just, yeah, I'm, because I've just given this game a lot of praise over these, what, 5 minutes, and I'm trying to think of anything I don't like about the game. The combat can be a little bit difficult at times, maybe. I
Yeah,
did
it's
come
very,
across
very
the,
punishing with the combat reactions, for the dodge, parry, jump.
especially parries, yeah, damn,
Oh yeah,
damn.
parries are oof.
But man, when you hit one and you do a counter attack, oh my god, it feels good. It really, and plus, just it's not just a thing of, oh, I caught it and I'm firing back. It's like the way the characters swish around and the noises that it makes, and you sometimes do loads of damage depending on what you got on. It's really, really satisfying. But yeah, it can be very damaging. I fought the I don't think this is really a spoiler, some lamp monster thing that you come across.
Yeah.
That had some
Lamplighter.
interesting, I think that's what's called, yeah. That had some interesting mechanics as well. That was very, very good.
Wait till you get the next character in your party. Because this isn't really a spoiler. The main characters you get, they all roughly have the same play style. Verso, who you get at the start of Act Two, his combat is more Devil May Cry inspired, in that he has a rank from D to S, and different skills you unlock require a minimum rank to do something else. The next character you meet and joins your party, completely different than everything else, and I'll leave it at that. It's also my favorite introduction of any character in any video game ever.
Nice.
Because
Nice.
it's very almost Deadpool with the back and forth banter.
Cool. But no, other than the combat at times being difficult, which or challenging is, I think, the better word. And I can make the game easier if I do want to, but I don't feel the quite desperate need to do that yet. Yeah, it's just now and again, kind of reassessing, like, okay, how am I playing it, and what have I got kind of equipped? Because I had to, now and again, it's good to just have a sort out of everybody's Pictos and everybody's abilities and things like that. So,
Yep. And
but
that was my worry with you going into it, was that I overhyped it too much. because I would not shut up about this game.
Yeah, you and many others. So, but no, it's you know, last time, was it literally last week? Yeah. Gosh, it feels like a long week. When I was like, okay, I can see the seeds of why people think this is so great. I'm not quite there yet, but I can't. I can see that. I can see it now. Like even as early as I still feel like I am in the game, I mean, I'm still getting certain tutorials for stuff. But yeah, I can completely see why, and I have no reason to think it will get worse from here on out. I can only think it will get better as more of the story gets revealed and I continue navigating this world. So yeah, just incredible so far. I did go and buy the soundtrack as well on my phone. You know, something's good and got your hooks in you like that when you buy like a thing from it, whether it's a piece of merch or music or something. So yeah, that'll be very, very good to listen to. Yeah, that's pretty much what I've been playing. And what's the other thing? No, that's it. Obviously, it's taken up a bunch of time. So, yeah, but just brilliant so far, and I just can't wait to get stuck in even further. So, all right, that's it for what we've been playing. Let's move into some housekeeping. We'll see you for that in a minute. Hi there. If you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link, which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system, which is usually in the bottom right hand corner, to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there, if you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcasts that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show. Alright, not too much this week, but recently on Entertainment Talk, of course, we have another refreshed Breaking Bad podcast this week. This is for Season 3, Episode 12, Half Measures. David is now back from holiday, but we're going to wait for the, of course, the finale podcast will come out next week, Wednesday, as they have been doing. And then we've got Walking Dead Dead City Season 2 to go through. It's only 6 episodes. I've not actually started that yet, but hopefully dip into that soon. So we'll be reviewing that, and then basically at some point within the next few weeks to a month or so, roughly, we'll be going from Breaking Bad season 3 to 4, because there's 13 episodes, and 313 will be next week. Over on the World of Last of Us, I did something I've genuinely never done before. Excuse me. Something I've never done before, which is performing lines from The Last of Us. It's something I've been meaning to do for a while, something that I have kind of half practiced off mic and things like that. There was a whole process to it, and it's one of the things where, you know, where you kind of for fun you practice a particular profession, obviously in this case it's voice acting, and it gives you a much bigger appreciation for what those people probably have to do. I don't know how they do things like remember so many lines and remember how they're supposed to deliver them, and there's a lot that goes into that, obviously. So I'm not going to explain the whole process here because I did that on the podcast, but the one rule I did have, for those of you worried about spoilers, the one thing I did do is I didn't include any scenes from the game that take place after where Season 2 has concluded from. So there's some lines from the first game, there's some from the second game, but it doesn't go past where the Season 2 finale is. So for those of you who Well, you listen to a gaming podcast, I know. For those of you who haven't played the game or whatever, and you've only watched the show, I won't. There's no spoilers in there for anything after the current point of season two. So just keep that in mind. Over on Gaming Talk, of course, last week we talked about some new information for the God of War TV show. I finished that video, by the way, of it was the DICE Summit or something. It was Corey Barlog and Neil Druckmann. They were just talking about like their creative process. Finished that, and there is a mention in there about Corey being involved in the God of War TV show. So that was good to do. But we talked about that. We also talked about The Last of Us 1, 2, and Left Behind scripts being sold in like a book kind of form. So that's kind of fun. We talked about online safety, which I believe we're going to be talking about something similar, not the same thing, but something similar later on. And of course, we talked about Expedition 33 as well. On recent reviews, I did a double season TV review for Squid Game seasons 2 and 3. The third is the final of that version of the show. Gave it a don't skip rating, so that's obviously on Netflix. Man United are, well, they are back. Preseason has been happening and there's been transfers, but we officially kick off the new season on the 17th, which I believe is next weekend against Arsenal. So I did a preview podcast. That's for the 25-26 season. The other gaming talk we did was talking about Assassin's Creed on Netflix, some early talk about Battlefield 6, and we talked about content creation. Of course, we have the recent episode of Breaking Bad for the Fly episode. That was season 3, episode 10. Did a don't skip review for Superman 2025 version, reboot version. So did give that a don't skip rating, so that was for that one. And of course, I did review Jurassic... I keep forgetting the name of it for some odd reason. Jurassic World Rebirth. I did review that recently as well. I've not got around to seeing Fantastic Four yet, but hopefully in the next couple of days. Anyway, that's what we've been doing recently on Entertainment Talk. Let's get into some news. Well, speaking of Battlefield, we had basically a kind of a presentation this week. There was a few different videos put out by EA and the Battlefield team. And Battlefield is back. Battlefield is back and hopefully is going to look as promising as this all looks. I watched, is his name Luke Stevens? Yeah, the content creator. I watched one of his videos. I watched a couple of other videos on Battlefield. Saw a lot of online talk and stuff. It's all looking really quite promising right now. It seems like there's become two sides of the conversation with this, and both of them I kind of agree with and understand. One of them is like, okay, this looks like Battlefield's back, EA has listened, this is back, that's back. And look, I'm not even the most like hardcore Battlefield person. I've played the games. I remember playing some of 3, some of 4. Didn't touch 5 or Battlefield 1, whatever those were. I didn't really go into 2042 because that sort of fell on its face at launch. But there is the community in there that kind of, they see everything this game looks like it's trying to do and are very, very excited about it. And that's, you know, you can never try to take away someone's excitement from, you know, being excited about something, which is always the thing. And then there's the other side of the conversation, which is, okay, this looks really, really, really promising. That's great. That's good. That's a good first step. This is just the first step in this interesting process. But the kind of, the game has to work at launch. Let's not forget that this is EA. They've promised us things before, because they promised a lot as well with like Battlefield 2042. And while those features were in the game, or at least some of them were, it also didn't really work, so there's that kind of element as well. And then also people reminding others that, like, okay, you can be excited for this game, that's great. Don't pre-order this game, which I also agree with as well. Because while I'm liking what I'm seeing, and I'm excited for it as well, just to see what this can be and what this can do, it's important, especially with companies like EA that we don't really, you know, trust, don't go pre-order the game, because the thing that can still happen with that, unfortunately, is, and there will be some people that will pre-order the game because that's just, kind of thing people do, is they see the numbers go up for pre-orders, and then so that's them kind of grabbing the money from you, right? They then got that part from you that they want. The game comes out, let's say there's some problems with it, and then slowly but surely, because the pre-order numbers were there, EA would then like take a step back, not care about it as much, and let it kind of just live in this like unfulfilled potential kind of state. So it's important to remember that. I was gonna like write down what was in the videos and stuff, but it looks kind of like what some other people were saying, which is this looks like kind of going back to the roots of, and what I remember as well from like Battlefield 3 and Battlefield 4, and just like, okay, we didn't do what we should have done, and since basically Battlefield 4, because there was a few other games, but they didn't really kind of work out. Going a bit more back to basics, going back to the class system, which looks really cool, and to just sometimes it's okay for a franchise to kind of, okay, we went in the wrong direction. It's not us going back simple, but go back to what works and just kind of almost start again from there, which I think is a smart choice in this situation. So that's really, really good as well. And from what I remember playing of Battlefield, 3 and 4, for example, looks like that's in this game. Gunplay looks great. The destruction, there's been a lot of question marks around the destruction of like, okay, how well will this really work? And like, because that's something that could go wrong quite quickly, right? Something as technical as that. Like, I remember in 2042 when they had the tornado mechanics and stuff, and it just didn't really kind of work very well. You also had things like people riding boats up the side of buildings, which is more funny and fun, but it's not quite what the game was trying to do. But when you do have like people shooting and tanks and jets and helicopters and then buildings being destructed and things like this, there's a lot of room where that could go wrong, where things could go quite badly wrong. So that's going to be something they'll have to manage well. But it's like I said, from what I remember about, let's say, the good old days of Battlefield, that looks like that's in here. But there's still just that seed in there of this might not be as good as we all think or hope. So just keep that in mind. Something could go wrong that we don't anticipate. And just you can be excited, but don't be sort of like definitively saying Battlefield is back before any of us have like, played the public version. But just also as well, because there was a few interesting, not really like bad, but a few snide little kind of comments from the developers of like, okay, the grounded military boots on the ground warfare, this is what this should be. And they kept saying things like, nobody does it like us, which is true in a way, because when they were talking about this destruction and things like that, the COD games didn't have destruction like the way the Battlefield games does. So as much as those might be sly digs at the competition, which I think is fine, because COD is in just a not good state right now, it is okay for you to, say things like that and be. And I don't think, when we talked before about the Splitgate 2 thing, that game, and the one thing I kind of pointed out was the way the guy got on stage, and it's great to be confident. Confidence is really great, but when, and especially with what happened after, because it got what reverted back to a beta state we talked about before, and how he got on stage and was like, "Yeah, this is awesome. This is great. Just play our game because it's the greatest thing ever." And it kind of falls on its face. You've got that aspect of it as well. I didn't feel like that was the same vibe from these people. These people looked like they were confident about what they'd made, and that's very good. That's a much healthier way to approach. Rather than coming across as like egotistical and cocky, it's sort of like there was a general sense of like, okay, we've actually tried to listen to you, and we're bringing this back to what you've been asking for, because it's very important that you listen to your community when you've got a multiplayer slash live service game. There was also some comments outside of it of because the way COD has kind of done this, what they've done with the skins, and we talked about this a few times as well, and what they've done with some like stupid weapon stuff as well, like glowing weapons and like, what was it, like a pumpkin gun or like a saucepan thing, I think I've talked about before. And then particularly when it comes to the skins, and you've got like American Dad in there, Beavis and Butthead in there, and they're not, those sort of skins aren't supposed to be in that game, because you're not supposed to have an animated character that's glowing so brightly that you'll get, spotted and things like that. But they sort of said, okay, if we're gonna have things like that in this game, they aren't gonna be the sort of, silly animated things. They sort of said that we'll leave that to the other guys, kind of thing, because COD is very, and they COD must be making money from doing that, because people are buying these packs. Otherwise, they wouldn't be doing the trend of like, the silly character skins if it wasn't working, because it does cost money to make, but then people buy them in droves and things like that. So it seems like they are going to try and keep this, grounded, military, realistic warfare game, and I think that's what this needs to be. And what I'm kind of interested, and this is a bit more of a long-term thing, forget Black Ops 7 this year, right? Obviously, it will still sell and whatever else. If next year is Modern Warfare 4, which I think it's supposed to be, because that kind of lines up, because out of the three COD series, which is Black Ops, Modern Warfare, and then like the other games, the closest Call of Duty series to being similar is the Modern Warfare series, because that is the one, even though you still have the animated skins and whatever else, those are the optional things that you can buy. But in terms of the on the ground, boots on the ground, modern warfare thing, that's what Modern Warfare tries to do, and that's what Battlefield tries to do. Black Ops has tried to do a different thing, and their other series of games have tried to do a different thing as well. But what I'm curious about is when this comes out, October, November, whenever it is, and then Black Ops 7, because Black Ops 7 is going to be quite different to what this is probably going to be as well. But between now and let's say next year, in the year one of Battlefield 6's existence, if there is time between now and let's say next November, when Modern Warfare 4 probably comes out, if Activision slash probably hopefully Infinity Ward works on Modern Warfare 4, if they learn some kind of lesson from that, because that's what COD ultimately needs as well. Because I just, COD's not going to change for the better in multiple different ways if something doesn't come along and throw a punch its way, which almost everybody in the FPS community that's talking about Battlefield 6 right now is like, okay, while this looks really, really great for Battlefield in of itself and the FPS genre, this game needs to give COD a good punch and be like, okay, you're still the biggest FPS series. Wake up and, just wake up and get the car back on the roads, so to speak. Because I think, let's say if either this game wasn't happening or this game falls flat on its face, COD has no reason to change what it's doing, because regardless of what we all think of the games, they'll still sell well every year, and they'll still sell all the Beavis and Butthead and American Dad, and if you do Family Guy or any other brightly lit animated characters that stick out in the map, they're gonna continue to do those things, and there would be no reason for them to do anything else. But because it will be interesting, not that I think it's going to fall badly, but I'll be very interested in, let's say 6 months after Black Ops 7 and Battlefield 6 come out, what the sales difference is. Because people really do want Battlefield, like what this Battlefield looks like it's doing, people really, really do want it. And the only reception I've seen so far from Black Ops 7 is just confusion of like, okay, what exactly is this game? And like, should we care? Kind of thing. So it'd be very interesting over the next, well, 2 years or so to see how this kind of unfolds. I remember as well, unlike things like FIFA and COD, which need competition, because FIFA still needs competition as well, unless things change at EA, Battlefield's not known really to be an annualized franchise, because the last one was 2 to 3 years ago, which is all you really need. Well, like when you've got a series of games like this, You can do your seasonal stuff where you do updates, but you shouldn't need a new game before that, like 2 to 3 year period. Yeah, it'd be very interesting to see how this unfolds, but I think this game looks very promising. It's just remember the situation, remember it's EA, and don't let yourself get too excited, because we know that the penny could drop and this game could fall flat on its face. But all EA really needs to do, because this dev team does seem very passionate about what they're doing, and as long as like people in suits who are going to collect money from this game, just sit in your chair, collect money, and I mean this in the nicest way possible, just shut up as well. Like, how many times on this podcast particularly have we talked about, like, I like to call them people in suits, whether it's executives, whatever job title they've got, and even sometimes when they're not even prompted to, they'll just say the most random, uninformed, stupid thing about their own company. And it's like, okay, even if you are that stupid and you're thinking of something that stupid, do you think it's a good idea for you to say that thing and just confuse and annoy the fans of those games more? Like, we've talked about that a bunch of times. So, for I mean, obviously they won't be listening to this podcast, but for any high up EA people that are going to be making money from this game, just take your money, sit in your chair, count your dollars. I don't really care. We just want this game to work, and just don't come out in 3 months and say something stupid about the game. Just don't do it. It's I know some of you can't help it, some of you people who are sitting there in your suits who are earning millions, and okay, you still probably shouldn't be earning the money that you are, because you're probably not qualified, let's be honest. But just let the developers do what they want to do with the game, because they seem passionate about it. They seem like, if they are true about the whole "we've listened to you, here's the class system," etc., etc., just sit in your chair, shut up, and just let them do their job. Because that is, because the moment you intervene and you start getting your grubby paws all over the game, is when things are just going to go badly. So anyway, I've said a lot of things there. Robert, what do you think of this game and that situation?
Well, when it comes to the money people, the one, number must go up. That all falls under the category, and I really, really wish I could remember where I heard it, so I could give proper credit. But I was watching a thing on business, and a business was failing, and they cut to one of the people they were interviewing, and they said it's the kind of bad decision that only comes with higher education. Because you, at some point, if you're, in your 40s, whatnot, at some point you've met somebody that's got a $1 million degree and a 5 cent head. They just know nothing. And unfortunately, you don't want to go down the rabbit hole of how are they that stupid? Because we've gone so far down that you can't tell anymore. Like, you legitimately cannot tell anymore if somebody's that stupid or if they're just making like a comedy skit. And my favorite clip I've ever seen of that is this guy, saying, "Oh, I'm vegan. I love being vegan. And my favorite vegan drink." And he pulls out a bottle of Nesquik, which is a bottled milk company. And it says strawberry milk. And he's like, "I love this because it's strawberry milk, which is much healthier than cow milk." And it's a meme to where it's a bunch of people reacting on TikTok. And so you just get all these heads popping in with this like really confused look on their face. And that's one of those things that 20 years ago, that would have been a funny skit. Today, that person might be that stupid. As for the rest of it, I mean, it's Battlefield. It's not a game I play. I have nothing against the genre, but it's long been established that I'm just not a shooter guy. I also generally don't buy skins. I will on occasion. Like, if it's a charity skin, I don't mind buying it for a game that I play anyway. I've done that a couple, three times. But, it all falls under the category of cool for you. Doesn't affect me that much, but cool for you.
So what do you think this game's kind of like chances are? Because again, things look promising, but we should be cautious for obvious
I
reasons.
mean, like any other game, it's 50-50.
Yeah, it's
Either
true.
people are going to like it or they're not going to like it. Sadly, we've gotten to a place to where there's not a whole lot of middle ground.
But yeah, we'll find out. I think the beta, what dates did they give? I think it's this weekend and next weekend or something like that. So check your local digital stores for that information. Just talk about some of the actual things they showed. I'm not gonna, again, not gonna run through all the different classes because they're, the ones that you think they are. They did show some like cool different things with them and how they kind of worked and the sort of ideas, and I basically liked all of those. The one thing that kind of caught my eye though, and it could be con this could be considered a little thing, but when you start planting interesting little ideas into a game, they can culminate to something really, really good. Is they showed this medic class. Now I don't obviously Battlefield 3 and 4 were years ago, and I don't like remember how everything sort of worked. And they said, okay, if one of your teammates is downed and they're in that line of fire, you don't have to res them or, give them a stim on the spot. You can actually drag their bodies away, like behind, assuming you can do it, if someone gives you covering fire or something, and you can drag them to an actual safer place and revive them. And some of you might think, oh, but that seems like something that's quite, simple, when it is, but I think of the amount of times, like in COD games, for example, where someone's being a bit more out in the open, and I go to res them, but of course, in order to get to them, I have to put myself to where they were, which puts me in the exact same line of fire. But the simple task of like, okay, just press—I assume it's a different button—and drag their body away so that you can do it safely, while someone else, gives you blind fire cover or something like that. It's something as simple as that can really be a very interesting game changer. They also kind of showed they really did have a big emphasis on the construction, the destruction of the buildings and stuff. And I think one of the guys said something like, "Hey, if there's a team below you that's trying to get you, or above you, or either way, because you can throw like C4 on different platforms, you can just essentially break the floor of different things." So you can sort of just smash and explode your way to where you need to get to, and then deal with the aftermath afterwards. I think the other cool thing about this, I don't think, I mean, you might get caught out by campers, but as soon as somebody is alerted to a camper, you ain't gonna be sitting in a corner of a building for too long, because you're just gonna get either you're gonna get exploded, or the part of the building that you're sitting next to is gonna get exploded, and you're gonna be exposed, very soon from that. I guess as well with the destruction, because you do have so much other stuff going on as well. Because they kind of showed like leveling buildings in this, and some people kind of wondered like, okay, it looks like obviously we're going to be able to blow up buildings and stuff. That's kind of a Battlefield staple. But how big will we be able to actually go when it comes to sort of, okay, you fire an RPG at the middle of a building, how much of it is actually going to blow up? So again, there's still questions around certain stuff and how certain things will work, but yeah, it looks pretty incredible so far. We'll just it's just going to have to be a wait and see on is the game going to work first and foremost, and are the ideas in here going to be as good as what people think? There is also a campaign, I believe, as well. So even if I don't play this long term multiplayer, I'll at least be playing the campaign and enjoying the game in some way, shape, or form. So, anyway, that's Battlefield 6. Check your dates for the different beta modes and stuff. I think the game is on the PlayStation Store and on the Xbox and whatever else. So, have a look at it and choose from what you want. But again, but with your wallet, like I'm not saying you can't pre-order the game. I think most people just advise that you don't do that. But if you feel confident and if you want to plunk down your, is it $70, whatever, probably, like to say, vote with your wallet and make your own choice. So anyways, move on from that, talk about a bit of a quicker story this time. Hell Is Us, which is one of my anticipated games for the year, which I believe comes out, I think it's actually this month, because we, when did we get into August? Where did the other 7 months of of this year go? But Hell Is Us, which looks like a kind of interesting, very interesting game to play. It's got a lot of mystery and a lot of cool things going on for it, which you can see in various different trailers. It's got a playable demo on PS5 confirmed, which arrives next week. I did not have the date in front of me, but it will be some date next week. I think that's good. It's interesting with demos because, I mean, we used to live in an era where, like, you could buy like demo discs and stuff, or you buy like a PlayStation magazine, you get a demo with it, or you get different demos of things on the PlayStation store. I know we have things like trials for games and things like that now, which is like, hey, you have 2 hours to just do what you can in the game and then decide if you want to buy it afterwards. I don't know if there's like financial issues with certain things, but I still am a little bit puzzled sometimes as to. Especially with like maybe like a new IP or something a bit more unknown. Why wouldn't you put a demo out there or a trial or something like that? So while it's a game I was gonna be there for anyway, not necessarily on day one, but a game I was interested in. Yeah, curious to jump into this demo and just get a bit of an early taste for it myself. So, what do you think of that and the sort of lesser percentage of demos we get these days?
Yeah, I mean, demos not being much of a thing anymore, I do understand because that is time, money, effort, and resources you have to devote to that. In a weird sort of way, you'd think with modern internet, it would be more of an incentive because, you don't have to put it on a disc. You don't have to work with a gaming magazine or anything like that. You still can get them. I had one hit my Xbox literally just the other day. I played it for about 5 minutes. I'm like, this is cool. I'm just not into that.
What game is it for?
For some side scroller
Okay.
shinobi kind of game.
Yeah. All right. I completely forgot to mention actually, there was a I can't remember the name of it right now. There's a climbing game that's coming out. I think it's in November or something. And they put a demo of it on the PlayStation Store.
It's not peak, is it?
I don't think it was called Peak. It was a very short name though, but I don't think it was Peak.
Because there's a game that's been hitting the streaming community called Peak, and it came out about 3 or 4 weeks ago. It's a super cheap game. It's $8 US, and you're first person. You can only see your hands, and it's a multiplayer game, and you just climb a mountain.
No, it's not that one. This is in third person and it's got like a resource element to it where you can like open your bag and you can go as far as like putting a tent out, cooking a pot of noodles. You have like, hey, you got 3 water bottles. When you get thirsty, manage that, and it's got that kind of thing to it. And then it's got kind of so you have your 4 limbs, obviously, and you start climbing, and you can see like different spots on stuff and like where your feet are gonna go and all this sort of thing. And you kind of go one by one with your limbs and you move them bit by bit. It's like, okay, put the hand there, put the foot there. This I did quite like it. It was a bit intense at points, but I think that's coming out late. I because we were speaking of demos and I did download the demo for it. It did let me go further, but I stopped playing at a certain point because I don't know, something came up or whatever. But that I'll look on the PlayStation Store itself while when you switch to your news things in a moment. I've got one more story after this, so I can actually say what the name of it is, so people can go and check it out. But yeah, it's got like resource management stuff to it. You can build like a mini tent and things like that, and it's got like a sort of limb by limb basis of gameplay. So it was pretty good. But I'll give you all the name of that in a second. But yeah, that's I guess both demos for whatever the game name of that game is, which I'll look up in a minute, and then Hell Is Us, a demo arrives for that next week as well. So a little bit more action on the demo front, which is nice. Speaking of action, I guess, completely switching gears. So Florence Pugh, who we know from things like Midsommar, she's done a bunch of various different films and of course has been in the MCU for a bit of time as Yelena, is it Belinda? I think the surname is. As Yelena, of course, she was recently in Thunderbolts. Had to turn down a role due to scheduling conflict. So it says here, Florence Pugh was in talks to play Abby in The Last of Us on HBO, which of course was season two, but had to turn it down due to scheduling conflicts. Do you remember if she was one of the chair names for Doomsday? I think she was. You know that, like.
Everybody was. I mean, let's be honest. Unless
Did.
the actor has died,
Well.
their name was on a chair in that live stream.
Right, there were certain names that were missing. I think a good chunk of the Thunderbolts cast was there because David Harbour's name was there. Her name probably was because I remember there wasn't Tom Holland's name wasn't on it, and
Yeah,
there
the only two
was
really notable names
Chris Pratt, I think.
that I paid attention to, one was obviously John Hurt because he passed away, and the other was Edward Norton, who was the original modern day MCU Hulk, before they replaced him with whack job McGuy got dropped in my head eating lead paint. But yeah, those are the only two really that I noticed. Of course, I didn't watch the whole thing, so.
Just to switch into that topic for a minute, it's funny when, like, because you don't have to like the MCU, you don't have to like anything, but when people say, like, oh, the MCU is dead and that, how can the MCU, and box office has its own, story to tell, but if Marvel can get people to watch a, what was it, like, 7 hour stream, it was really, really
Like
quite
five and
long,
a half.
yeah, and get, like, I think it was 10 to 12 million people to watch a camera, browse some chairs. That tells its own story. So, yeah.
People in the 70s bought pet rocks, so don't hold up faith for the human race at all.
True, true. But yes. Anyway, Florence Pugh had to turn the role of Abby down in season two of The Last of Us due to scheduling conflict. So it did go to Caitlin Dever in the end, who's going to be playing her as well in season three when the show comes back in 2 years' time. I think she would have made a very good Abby. There was a few other names that floated around for a while. One was, I think, Shannon Berry, and there was also a few other people as well. I think there was that one person from The Mandalorian whose name escapes me. Is it Katie O'Brien? Is that who I'm thinking of?
That's Katie Sackhoff, are you?
No, it wasn't her. It was woman with a really short hair, and she's quite muscular in real life. I don't think she played that big of a role in Mandalorian, but that's what I remember her from. She was kind
Yep.
of like talked about to play Abby. Because yeah, the reason I brought up Doomsday was so it says scheduling conflicts. I don't know if this would have been filming at the same time as Thunderbolts, because it could have been that. But then if she's essentially going from Thunderbolts to Doomsday, and then probably some other stuff as well, like she was in We Live in Time, which was a very good film as well, which I reviewed. So she's been in a few things recently. So yeah, makes sense. But it's I guess it's good that it wasn't because she hated the idea or thought the role was going to be bad or something. So any thoughts on that at all?
Yeah, I do like her in that role. I'm not familiar a lot with the
As
Abby
Yelena, you mean?
character.
You mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, as Abby.
Mm-hmm.
I do like her as a possibility in that role just because she's had physical roles before that. She did a movie called Fighting With My Family, which was about the professional wrestler Paige, who grew up in a amateur wrestling family where kind of like a carnival circus act. It was a mom, dad, couple of kids, going around the country doing wrestling shows. Actually, surprisingly stacked cast for such a small indie. It had Lena Headey in it, it had Vince Vaughn in it, it had Nick Frost in it. What's this? Yeah, Nick Frost is who I was thinking of. But just those four alone is enough to make a movie.
Nice, nice. But yeah, we'll probably see her next in is it next year, Doomsday? Christ, that seems really soon.
In theory, it'll get delayed at least five or six times.
Yeah, I think that and Spider-Man is supposed to be next year. So, we'll see. All right, that's all the news I got. How about yourself?
Well, first up, Nintendo decides that it wants to keep on its villain arc. As you know, the Switch 2 launched earlier this year. You know, more advanced machine, higher price, all that fun stuff, yada, yada, yada. So it's decided a couple weeks ago, now is a good time to raise the price of the Switch 1. You know, the console that released in 2017 and is 8 years old
Oh my
and has
gosh.
sold like 150 million units. The original one will now be priced at $339, and the OLED will go to $399,
Wow.
and the Switch Lite will be going to $229. And of course, everybody's blaming everything except the fact that they can do this. You know, one
Of course they can.
Nintendo executive is blaming inflation. Another is blaming, you know, Trump's tariffs that haven't even kicked in yet. But at the end of the day, while I don't know, no, because obviously nobody at Nintendo talks to me or tells me things, but I've seen this marketing before to where you put the price of the inferior product close enough to the price of the superior product to where in your head you can justify buying the more expensive product. This is no different than when you go to your mobile carrier because it's time to replace your phone, and they say, oh, well, you can buy this 32 gig storage phone for $400, or you could buy this 128 gig storage phone for $600. They've been doing that for a decade, longer even. Actually, when you think about it, the smartphone hasn't really been ubiquitous for that long. I mean, yeah, there's been smartphones, but it was 07 when the iPhone popped off. So we're not even 20 years yet into the modern smartphone era, as I'd like to say, the
Almost.
modern internet era. Yeah, so we're not even 20 years into the modern smartphone era, but I've used to work smartphone support. I've seen prices like this on I don't know how many products. And obviously, like I said, I don't know 100%, but if I had to put money on a bet, that would be my bet.
Yeah, I've seen similar things like that before, so kind of agree with where you're going with that. I'm not going to be buying one of either of them. In fact, I still need to find my Switch and sell that. I kind of want to do that while I'm still on this holiday break, if they'll take it. Remember last time they wouldn't take it because I said there was a crack in the stand, even though there wasn't. So,
Yeah,
yeah.
I'll probably sell mine closer to Christmas. Nothing against it. I don't dislike it. I literally never play it anymore.
Yeah, I've cleaned mine off. I don't mean physically clean, I mean like reset it. So I have nothing to use on it, no games for it, no interest in turning it back on. So yeah, like there you go. But because even with like let's say my PSVR, which I kind of finished with, I still have like I think I remember telling the story before that I sort of, because I was going to sell that and then the Switch and then get a VR2, which I'm still interested in a VR2, but they're still 530, although in some places 300 and something. That I don't know, I had this idea of sort of I didn't like the idea of selling that and it ending up with somebody else or whatever. So I just ended up keeping it because I like to have it with me. So, but yeah, we'll see what comes of this, I suppose. What else did you want to talk about?
Well, I don't really consider this a villain arc. This is more of a you make a ubiquitous, vague law. You get what you fucking deserve. So this is from the fun world of Reddit. From a user says, "What the fuck? Now I have to be 18 to use the NVIDIA Utilities app," and he has a screen cap from his PC, I'm assuming. And it says, "But you are not eligible to use this application. Based on the information we have, you do not meet our age requirement. We appreciate your interest and encourage you to come back later." Which somebody that was verified on Twitter posted this and said, "Doxing yourself just to adjust the settings on your GPU. Can anyone confirm this? And so the internet does what the internet does, and they went a deep dive into it. So one of the things, I haven't had a chance to use it myself yet because I still don't really kind of trust it. But from the people that I do know that I do trust, they are big fans of the AI Grok because it doesn't give you a whole lot of bullshit, but it's really, really good at curating and chewing through data to give you a condensed kind of summary. And so they asked Grok, is this a real screenshot? And Grok replied, yes, the screenshot shows NVIDIA app enforcing an 18 plus age requirement, likely for features like GeForce Now integration, per their policies requiring adult status or parental consent. No doxing needed. It is based on account birth date verification, not public exposure. The theory that porn is assumed is unfounded. It is for general compliance, which they did a follow-up question. When did this come into effect? And Grok dug through the data and said, the age verification on the NVIDIA app tied to GeForce Now policies has existed since at least 2020, but stricter enforcement appears to be aligned with the UK Online Safety Act age check requirements effective July 25th this year. This may explain recent prompts for users. So, and then they go deeper into it and they ask about the UK's online verification. They ask, is there a good possibility that this is the beginning of more dangerous, slippery slopes of censorship, or it's harmless? And Grok replied, while the UK Online Safety Act's age verification aims to protect children from harmful content, it does risk a slippery slope towards broader censorship. Critics, including the EFF, which I don't know what that is,
Me neither.
and privacy advocates highlight privacy invasions via ID checks and potentials for expanded surveillance, with VPN usage surging and petitions exceeding 350,000 signatures. NVIDIA's enforcement is compliance driven, but could normalize such controls globally, far from harmless. And so it goes into a few other things. And like I said, this is, you make a broad, vague, like, we're doing this for the children. You could use that to justify anything.
All right. So what is to go back to the start of this a little bit. So what is this NVIDIA sign-in thing
It is
doing?
a utility program to use various functions of the graphics card itself.
So just for a graphics card
Yeah.
thing. Okay. So it's not like an online
No.
like a yeah.
Yeah,
Okay.
imagine getting into your car and you turn the engine on and then you go to put it in gear and the car says, oh, you're not old enough to put it in gear. Come back
Right,
later.
yeah. No, I see what you mean. Or like turn the oven on or something. I don't know if that's the similar thing. As we discussed at length last week with what is mentioned there about the UK's safety thing, which I know we kind of disagreed on what we thought of it, which we're able to disagree. That's fine. This is not the same thing as what I was talking about with that, because this seems what I would describe as more silly, because from what you've just described in terms of this just being something for a graphics card, is fundamentally not the same thing as like verifying your age on a app or a site where you could view adult content or content that is doesn't have to be not suitable for work content, like porn or something. It doesn't have to be that type of content, but something that we should protect underage people from. This seems like something a bit different. It is interesting that this because as you were kind of describing what was going on, I was like, okay, is this like, has this slipped in from the, I think it's called the Online Safety Act, I think that's the actual name of it, but doesn't seem like it has. So you also said that there was a date for this since 2020, but I've like, that's interesting because I've not heard of this slipping up in this way since, I mean, that was 5 years ago, believe it or not. So yeah, this feels like something more accidental and something that shouldn't be happening in the same way. The one thing I did kind of try to agree with you on last week, which was, because while I'm okay with the general idea of what the Online Safety Act thing is, I do still acknowledge that, like, okay, if a government, something like a government, sees that they can put something like that in and then slip that down a slippery slope, but it depends where that slippery slope goes to and what's the, I guess, stopping point for that. But the general idea of it is something that I agreed with because, again, I explained the whole lousy parent situation. But if this is just like just for adjusting graphics card settings, then no, it shouldn't really. I don't really understand why you'd need to verify your age for that. Anyway, I'll tell you something else is interesting now that we're on like the age topic thing. So I had an Uber Eats order this week, and it was a couple of different, just household things that I needed, and I put beer in the order as well. And it came up on the app, and it said, "Can you verify your age?" So I put my age thing in, and it said accepted. Didn't come up with any of the same like online safety thing. Bearing in mind, I am buying alcohol, right? So do need to be 18 or over to drink. You don't physically have to be that old, but you're supposed to be that old. And the it said on the thing, hey, because you're buying alcohol, we can't do the leave this at door thing, which is apparently what I had clicked on it. It said, oh, you'll need to like meet the delivery person and verify your age. That verify process was as simple as the guy came up to me, he handed me his phone, which maybe he shouldn't have done, but I wasn't gonna take it. Not like I'm gonna run away from the house with his phone, but who knows, whatever. He hands me his phone and it comes up with the pretty much the same menu, and he's like, hey, can you put your age in? Put my age in, could have easily been lying about it, couldn't I? And then I handed it back, he pressed next, he handed it to me, and off we both went. So like, because even in both boxes, I could have, if I was under 18, I could have easily put in whatever age. He didn't ask for like, because the thing said you'll need to bring photo ID with you, so I did actually take that with me in my pocket. But the and whether it was the guy didn't do the job he was supposed to do or whatever, I was still able to quite easily buy that. So anyway, but yeah, when it comes to things where you shouldn't need to verify your age or things that you should, we clearly still have a lot of work to do. So I think that's the general gist of both of those stories. Because you've got one situation where I maybe should have been checked more in a certain way for alcohol, and then this person was checked for a graphics card program. Anyway, what do you think of all this?
Well, first off, if you look up history books, you'll find that once you give up a power, the government will give it back, never in the history of ever fucking ever. That's just a thing. The second thing is once you give up a power or a right to any government body, it will be used against you eventually, not because of any like malicious contempt or anything like that. It's just politics is polarizing. And at some point in time, somebody you don't like, for whatever reason, could get elected to a position of power within the government. And then that right you gave up, they now have the power to wield. And if you want to see an extreme example of that, not of the giving up of the rights, of just that, we're the government, you do it our way or else, look up the Battle of Athens, Tennessee. On YouTube. Some scary ass shit in that.
Yeah, suppose. Yeah, things can change when the hands change. So, what do you think of the alcohol thing I mentioned?
Alcohol, has always had, and well, not always, but has always, at least in the modern era, had at least an age check. But see, there's a big difference of you going to a store, them showing you showing them their ID, your ID, and then you buying it. They don't photocopy your ID and put it in a filing cabinet for future use.
No,
That
no.
that's what the UK thing, at least as far as I understand it, from what I've been able to read, is what they're going to do. Or at least some analogy, allegory to that of, you got to show us your ID if you want to do that.
Yeah. But yeah, we'll see how these things play out, I suppose. So, what else did you want to talk about today?
Well, staying along with that, Microsoft is deciding to sidle up to this whole nonsense. Microsoft is now implementing an age verification system on Xbox accounts to comply with the Online Safety Acts in a new blog post announcing the move. But the bigger thing and the biggest thing I have an issue with is that the company is suggesting and hinting at that it might come to other countries too. On a quote from the blog post, players that are 18 years or older will begin seeing notification encouraging them to verify their age. The process is technically optional now, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, and players will be able to enjoy playing Xbox games until early 26 when they get all their fascist ducks in a row. Microsoft says that it hopes to learn from the UK program and, quote, roll out age verification processes in more regions in the future, and that will not go well.
All right, yeah. I've not had this come up on my Xbox yet. I'm kind of wondering, because it's the Safety Act is active over here, where it will like pop up next, like if it will be on PlayStation or something. Because that's the other thing is, when you think about, okay, 18 rated games and stuff, there's again not much stopping. I mean, there's literally, in terms of a physical store, there's nothing stopping a, let's say, parent, again, going back to the lazy parent thing, or lousy parent, whatever, going in, buying a team rated game, handing it to their child outside, and then go home, install it, and have no problem. But it's also the same that, because I don't think Nintendo does it. I don't think any platform really does it in that way, where if you sign up for an account and just set your, because that's the thing with doing any kind of set your age thing, which is there's not much stopping you from just, if you are underage, just putting in a different date. So, because again, where like if you are some 14-year-old kid or something and you want to set up a new PSN account, I can't think of what would stop you from just, yeah, I'm gonna sign up, put my age as 20, whatever. And then just have access to whatever. So, I mean that's not a new thing. That's been the case ever since we had online gaming. The one thing I did get the other day, and I'm not sure what it was all about, is I booted up my Series X, and it said YouTube would like access to your microphone, even though my controller doesn't have one, and I don't plug it in.
Yeah, I've been getting that a lot too.
I clicked on no and then it came up again. So I clicked, I but it's not like someone couldn't use a mic feature to spy on me or something through an Xbox because I don't have a mic plugged in through that system.
Yeah,
So.
no, as far as I can figure, I've actually been dealing with this for a couple of weeks. If you go crazy deep into the settings, you can find the microphone permissions, and you can turn it on and off, and that doesn't affect anything.
Yeah.
The only consistent thing I've found is that if YouTube was the last app that plays videos that you use, you will get that glitch. If you go into anything else, it won't do that.
Huh.
Yeah, so if you go into like Prime Video or Netflix or something like that, it won't give you that error. It's something to do with the permission settings in conjunction with the quick resume. Past that,
Okay.
I've done tons of like internet help searches. I can't find a consistent fix for it. The fact that you're experiencing it and I'm experiencing it makes me think it's a YouTube thing that they're just never going to fix.
What's ironic about that, though, is you can't stream on an Xbox Series X through YouTube. So even if it was, oh, cool, you're giving me microphone permission option, which would be good for, like, streaming, I can't even do that. But the only place where that's actually usable is if I was to do a voice search through the thing on YouTube, which I don't really do that. Yeah, because unlike with like with PlayStation's DualSense, like even if you've got it microphone or headset unplugged, there's still the mic in the controller. There isn't a mic in the controller on the Xbox, so it couldn't even be sneaky with that. Because I had a friend that I spoke to once, and she said that she was playing COD on PS5. This was like 3 years ago, with when Modern Warfare 2 came out, and she didn't know that, and I would have told her and alerted her, but I didn't know she had a PS5 until she told me the story. And then she said she was playing COD through a TV, and she was like saying something back, and she didn't realize that people could hear her because she didn't know that the headset had a mic on it. So I what while it's sometimes useful for, like, I guess certain stuff, it is a bit like, if you don't know it's there and you start saying stuff, like, that is one of them sneaky opportunities. But an Xbox doesn't have that at all, which is interesting, because I would, like, when I do go to rarely stream a game on the Xbox, it would be nice to have a mic option and a YouTube option, but it's actually not there. So yeah.
Yeah, I did another quick search and I did find an article talking about it, saying this is a fairly common problem. It just says many users are facing the same recurring issue with the microphone access request. Uninstalling it does not change it. Changing the permissions does not change it. So no real fix for it.
I just clicked on allow, and then it let me in, because it wouldn't actually let me go through if I press the other button. So yeah. All right, anything else on these bits you want to talk about?
Nope, but I do have the next story.
All right.
Falling into the category of unintended consequences, along with the age verification, there's been a big push from advocacy groups to payment processors to force platforms like Steam and GOG and other places like that to delist not safe for work games. And they come up with the oh so calm and peaceful and tolerant rhetoric of calling these games rape simulators. And we already had a one big push on that, with GOG deciding to give a big middle finger. It delisted all their adult content games and then relisted them for free. And if they're free, there's no payment processing.
Sneaky.
But the bigger article is from Gaming on Linux, talking about how if this continues, then this is going to affect franchises like GTA and Saints Row and other similar games.
If Saints Row ever comes
Because,
back.
yeah, well, I mean, Saints Row is dead, so we don't have to worry about that. But like Duke Nukem, just like really not necessarily
God, I forgot about that game.
sexual games, but games that definitely have an adult thing to it. I mean, in the last two or three GTA games, you can go into a strip club. I know there was like an older GTA game to where you had to have sex with a prostitute to gain your health back.
I'm just trying to think if I remember that coming up, but
Think it was like
I don't.
three. It might have been all the
We
way
do have to
back in
remember the last
three.
GTA game was 12 years ago. So
Yeah.
yeah. I can't remember when I last booted up any GTA game. So yeah. But I forgot about Duke Nukem. I completely forgot that that existed. I didn't forget Saints Row existed. I just remembered the newer game and how that didn't work. That's what I mean with things like, I bring up Medal of Honor sometimes, and like, if you put Saints Row, Medal of Honor, and Duke Nukem, like, are we ever going to see those games ever again? I don't know if anybody
Yep.
wants to, but or needs to, but yeah, maybe we won't.
Yeah, and when I say, and I constantly talk about slippery slope, think about like in Germany, any reference to Nazism is banned. Now just expand that to the rest of the world. That'll definitely, get rid of Nazism is just banning it everywhere. You talked about, oh, these shitty parents. Is it passing this law going to make them suddenly become not shitty parents? No. So you're doing a thing that's not going to affect the thing.
Yeah, I wonder now how many like news stories this is gonna pop into, because I don't think it's going to go away anytime soon. And I
Oh,
wonder
it
if
never goes
like
away.
I mean this like news specific thing, but if it will start to bleed into other countries as well. I have to see how that goes, but hopefully not on any more just graphics program platforms. So I have to see. Yeah, just thinking of the game series that I do play, and a lot of them are violent. I know there are, obviously there's a good amount of, family-friendly kids games out there that you can play. But yeah, most of the big ones, apart from, you can slide tackle someone on FIFA, but football's, not GTA, is it? So just have to see how it goes. Again, anything else you want to say about it?
No, I think I've talked enough about the subject. It's depressing me.
All right. Is there anything else you got?
Yeah, I do have one. It's not, I wouldn't call it good news per se, but it's definitely less depressing. The website MP First has a rumor. Again, rumor, grain of salt, but I've checked the website. They have called a couple of things. They're claiming that Starfield will be coming to PS5 early next year, mid-March to mid-June, with the announcement of the next set of DLC for Starfield. I don't know how well I believe that rumor, just because the Starfield DLC did not really bring people back to the game. Like, if you look at, oh, obviously, again, Steam database, only Steam users. You don't see Xbox, you don't see, anything like that. That's the only thing I have. You look up Starfield when the DLC came out, and it was not a big blip. Let me pull up the thing here real quick. Should have had it ready.
That's okay. But I mean, to me, if you're gonna put Forza, Gears, and possibly eventually Halo, because Halo's the only maybe from all of Xbox's games. Because I think we are now at a point where if you tell me Starfield or South of Midnight is coming to PlayStation, I have no reason to not believe that. So,
Yeah.
because why would it not? Why would they not do that?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the numbers, it didn't do bad on PC platform. It had an all-time peak at 330,000, which is very respectable. There's still almost 4,000 players playing it right now. But if you look in August when the DLC came out, it peaked at 6,000, which is not good. It's just a little tiny blip. Oh, sorry. That was another up to big update. That wasn't the actual DLC. The DLC bumped it up to 21,000. Again, not terrible. Way better than a lot of games that we've covered, but not exactly blowing the roof off.
But yeah, I'll just sit on the idea of Halo's the only maybe, because I think that you name any other Xbox game, I think they could all come to PS5. I mean, especially Gears, because I consider Gears of War like a bigger name than Forza. That's coming to PlayStation, so why would like I said on my South of Midnight review, like, hey, if you don't have an Xbox or a PC, just wait roughly a year, and this might be on PS5. So, Because it seems from Microsoft's point of view that okay, why would we not do these things? And I'm not going to get into my whole Xbox's competition thing again because I'll be here for another 20 minutes. But yeah, we'll see what happens with it. Do you think it will come to PlayStation 5?
I think eventually it will. If now I haven't heard anything about a second DLC because the first one didn't do that great in terms of general overall, Xbox plus PC sales. Because you got to have the Game Pass to get the DLC for free. If you only bought the game, you still have to buy the DLC, which I did not. I bought the game. It just the combat got way too repetitive too quick, and the base building aspect got way too complicated. It's like I'll take trying to do my Pictos drunk over dealing with the base building in Starfield. But yeah, I mean, possibly if they're gearing up for another DLC, that would be the perfect time to do it, but I don't know.
Wonder what will be after Starfield. I'm trying to think of Xbox games that aren't South of Midnight that have come that have not come to PS5 yet. Because Indiana Jones did. Hellblade 2, is it Hellblade 2 that's coming to PS5? I saw a trailer popping up for that. In fact, I saw it on the PlayStation Store. Halo's the other big one, so we'll see. All right, what else do you want to talk about today?
That's all I got.
All right, let's move into some emails, some feedback. Of course, if you'd like to write into the show about anything we've talked about, let us know what you're playing. Are you also playing Expedition 33 or anything else that you're playing? Let us know. Matthew@entertainmenttalk.org, social media, eTalkingCare Entertainment Talk, and there's information in your show notes. Josh says, I know you've discussed it before, but any thoughts on the rumor of the PS6 and next Xbox in 2029 and not 2027? I think as I because we I think we discussed before, as Josh said here, about 2027 just still feels far too soon to me. I was thinking the other day, you know, when I sat here and I named all of the sort of PS6 games, sorry, PS5 games that we know are imminent or hopefully imminent, things like Intergalactic, things like Wolverine, things like obviously, Death Stranding 2 is already out. Things like Hell Is Us, and then the Housemarque's next game, and also Ghost of Yote. So those games in the next like 1 to 3 years, let's say. While you may get PS6 versions of some of them because business is business, because I kind of thought about like okay, because I saw like a 2029 thing somewhere. It wasn't like a confirmed thing, it was just someone trying to predict something. So I guess those are the 2 years that are floating around is 27 and 29. 29 at least makes a bit more sense to me because we tried to predict a little bit about launch titles for PS6. Not that anybody, you know, who isn't aware of what's being worked on could accurately predict that, because there's probably a bunch of games that we don't know about. If all those games come out on PS5, and then the next like 2 years worth of games are the launch titles of six, that would make a bit more sense. I mean, you might have some cross-gen stuff in there, but yeah, nine feel anything nine and further out. So if it's gosh 2030 or 31, just that 27 to me feels a little bit too soon. It's possible. It's possible. You know, we get to middle of next year. They announce a PS6. I don't think. And obviously, they're making one. They're probably also, you know, flirting around ideas for the six and the seven and whatever else. But they would obviously be working on it now because the PS5 is 5 years old. But they would have been doing that even before that. So, there you go. Anyway, yeah, whether it's 29 or something further out, I think that sounds a bit more realistic to me than, you know, 2 years' time, or maybe slightly less than 2 years' time. What do you think? What year do you think we could possibly see the next consoles? You're on mute at the moment. Just to let you know.
Hard telling, really. I mean, the PS5 Pro, I don't know what the sales number are, but they didn't brag about the sales number.
Was that last year or this
So,
year?
either.
Yeah, no, when did it came out last year, didn't it? I think. I'm just trying
I
to
think,
remember.
but about a year ago.
Yeah. And that was a 24 release. Anyway, sorry, carry on.
And they did a SKU update for Xbox, but it was really just a bigger hard drive, and that's about it. I mean, Microsoft being PC, desktop, office apps, all that other fun stuff, they're always testing some kind of hardware, just to see what it'll do. PlayStation, I don't know. I don't know how much money they sink into R&D for things like that. I'm sure they're testing on something. I'd be hard pressed to not be at some level. But past that, I just don't see the market need for it. I mean,
Oh,
like we
me
talked
too, like right
about
now, yeah.
earlier, and like the first story was the Switch One going up in price, which is wild. So yeah, I don't see any need for either company to continue selling it, especially since Microsoft is slowly phasing out the big box console and they're moving more to streaming with, X Cloud and
Because everything is
the
an Xbox.
Xbox app streaming on a TV. You'll still need a controller, but Microsoft has a billion controllers you can buy.
So I guess we will find out that in the future as well. Beth writes in, says, I'm tempted to ask a new random question each week. So here's two. Matt, have you been checking out any good ASMR recently? And what do you both think is the best fizzy drink? I would say Pepsi Max. Yeah, I recently did get back into Lucozade a little bit. That's quite. It's one of them things, you know, when you like. Just stick with food and drink for this particular conversation, but when you like stop eating or stop drinking something and then you go back to it and then you kind of wonder why you stopped in the first place. I think the most underrated drink, I don't know how silly this will sound. I mean, you know, if you want silly comments, go on Twitter. But I think chocolate milkshake is quite underrated. I don't know, I really like it. But it does, the opportunity to drink it or places to get it from doesn't come up all that often. But yeah, I would say Pepsi Max. I haven't tried a lot of particular other ones. I've had, you know, all the like mainline stuff, like what's the orange one? Fanta. Obviously had Coke, Pepsi. Yeah, all those sort of mainline ones. But any before I get to the ASMR question, what do you think is the best fizzy drink?
Well, the best fizzy drink is the one I can't get anymore. It
Oh.
was super niche and was only sold when I was growing up in one town. It was only sold at a sandwich shop called Jenny Cream Ale, and it wasn't even a local drink. The owner was from the Massachusetts area, and it was popular there for a while, and he would import it in. I've been doing an image search on it, trying to remember it, and I don't see it anywhere, so I don't even know if they make it anymore.
Oh, okay. Any others?
No, I mean, I drink Diet Coke for the caffeine, but I'm not a super sweet drink kind of person, so it's not, me saving calories drinking Diet Coke. It's just that it doesn't have that cloying sweet that the regular Coke has. Pepsi's always had a metallic taste to it, for me. So I never really got into that.
Yeah. Any good ASMR? I'd always recommend. It depends what you want because there's a lot of different types of ASMR. I don't even know how many different people I follow on YouTube for it now, because they all kind of do their own different things in different ways. So depending on what I am after, I go to different people. But Ozzley, I think, is at like the top of her game right now. It's Ozzley. I did a Month Positive Creators episode about her. I got back into, I think she's called D. It's from ASMR Healing Room. She does. I mean, they're all relaxing content in their own way. She does a very particular thing, and she's very. I don't know how to describe it, which I should be able to, but I can't right now. It's just not coming to mind. But I don't know what it is. There's something particular that Ozzley does that's just better than everybody else, and I go to her for more things. It's not always even just which person do I want to listen to. It's like, okay, which particular video, I suppose, as well. I've noticed a few different creators kind of, and I like the way that they do this. They'll have like a video idea that's, let's say, 20 minutes, and then they'll do it with rain, with just the sound, and then with, so like one with just the ASMR stuff, then one with rain, and then one with music. But they'll put like one after the other, and you can choose your own, chapter and whatever. So I quite like that. I do still, I've noticed GB doesn't, GB is like one of the, by far one of the, she probably is the most popular ASMR artist. I've noticed she doesn't come up on YouTube as much for me anymore. I don't know why that is, because she's also got like two or three different YouTube channels. I'm subscribed to all of them, but, I do find that really odd with you, like someone you actively watch content for and you're subscribed to, and then their videos just, they don't disappear. But you notice, like, oh, it's been up to a week, let's say, and I've not seen that person.
The YouTube algorithm likes to shadow ban a lot.
I just, YouTube doesn't always work properly, but you just would think if you're subbed to somebody and you've given them lots of watch minutes and also watch, click on their videos regularly, that it would stay there, but it doesn't always happen. Although YouTube's got a weird mix of like trying to hide those people, but then also like, hey, here's a playlist of things you've listened to before or watched before. But anyway, there's her, and then there's a bunch of people. But the two I'm watching slash listening to is Healing Room. Sorry, the three people is Tiny Hands ASMR. I've forgotten what her actual name is. I can't remember. Tiny Hands ASMR, Healing Room ASMR, and then again some GB when she actually pops up, and then Ozzley. So hopefully that answers the question. But I mean, I recommend all of them in general. But those are the ones I've been going to more regularly. Anyway, right, and then lastly, we've got Harrison says, do you think Sony will ever do anything better with backwards compatibility? I'd like to play some more PS3 games. Will they ever do anything more? They have had a change of leadership recently. So, of course, Jim Ryan. Well, I say recently, that was. Feels like a while ago, but it doesn't feel like. Is it Ryan? I can't remember the guy's name. What was Jim Ryan? It's now. No, Herman Host, Herman Holst, whatever his name is. I think it's him, and then one other person who's like co-leading Sony. Doesn't feel like they've quite stamped their authority on that. That the new era is kind of not in yet from them. We're still kind of going through the last of the Jim Ryan stuff. It depends how much they care about it and how much they think it's worth doing. Because ultimately, for you look at any business, whether it's video game or anything otherwise, if you want to do something but it doesn't make financial sense and you don't think you'll make much money from it, then it's going to be lower on their list. Because as much as some companies somewhat lean into like, okay, this is what the community wants, do those things make business sense? Because at the end of the day, no matter how big your name is, if you're not making money and you can't pay the people that work for you, then you can't stick around. Not saying that Sony's, in the ditch or something, but which you'd think it w especially like I remember when they did come out with the PS Plus Classics thing, and I remember when they made that first lineup of games, and it was like Abe and Jumping Flash. I think Jumping Flash was in there, and then like Toy Story 2, and there was like, I think it was like, was it Metal Gear that was, no, not Metal Gear. I think Ape Escape was one of them, and there was like a Siphon Filter game, and I was like, oh my god, there's going to be a great chance to like play some PS1 and 2 games, and they're still doing it. They've just really, really, really scaled it back a lot. But it's interesting you mentioned the PS3 though, because that is by far the most awkward generation of games to play. Like PS1 games, there is a few different options of ways you can play them. PS2, same thing. PS4 and 5 are more in sync, because you can, you know, backwards compatible with 4 through 5. But with the 3, I mean, I found Eco on the PlayStation Store the other day, a game that's been brought up loads of times and I'm interested to play. But if I want to play that on my PS5, I've got to subscribe to the, I think it's second tier of Plus, and then stream the thing. So, I wouldn't mind subscribing to the thing, but if I can download it to my console and play it offline, then that would just be much better. But some of them games are just, like, stuck. But I mean, ultimately, the best way to maybe play PS3 games is to get a PS3. So, and then either use the kind of awkward PS3 store or buy discs, I suppose. But then you've also got to make sure you've got a PS3 that's got enough storage space, because I've had problems with mine with that, that can actually take more than like 2 games. So, I don't know. If you want to look at like the new leadership, and then in like 5 years or whatever, when we get a PS6, but I don't know, the classics is better than nothing, because you do also have the save rewind features, but you need to just add more stuff. So, anyway, what do you think of Sony's non-handling of it, I suppose?
Do I think they will put more effort into making backwards compatible a thing? In short, no. In long, no. They are not going to do it. They will never do it, because like you said, the first thing is people are going to bring up are all the amazing games on the PS3 that they can't do because they went with the Cell processor. Any one of those games, unless it's like an exclusive that never came to PC, you can buy it cheaper, run it faster at a higher graphics rate on a PC. That doesn't even have to be a good PC. You can get a janky $300 potato machine from whatever big box stores near you, and it'll play Arkham Asylum better than whatever you try to do with the compatibility on a PS5.
Mm. It is annoying that that's kind of like, because again, the 1, 2, 4, and 5 are, I would say, more accessible. And there are some of those games you can buy or subscribe to and play offline on PS4 and 5, or at least on 5. But yeah, the 3 is just a bit, I'll say, a bit stuck. And look, if you've got good enough internet and you want to subscribe, then I guess you can stream those games, but I just don't see that as a good option personally. But yeah, as everybody says, it's that damn Cell processor. So, yeah. But yeah, I guess we'll see if Sony ever does anything with that. There's got, like, I know exactly what you mean, and I agree in terms of like how difficult it is and the Cell processor thing, but there's got to be like something they can do. It just depends if they want to do that something, or
ironically, if they had 100 machines dedicated to AI and just threw AI at it, it might actually get it.
Yeah, like some sort of emulator thing or something like that. I'm sure we've achieved much more difficult things in, you know, science and technology than playing a PS3 games on a different system. We've put people on the moon, as they would say. You can put a person on the moon, but you can't play a PS3 game on your PS5. It's a weird time to be alive. Alright, that's what we got for you for this week's Gaming Talk. We'll be back next week with maybe some Battlefield impressions. I think it is this weekend and next weekend.
Yeah, I looked. It's Five, six for pre-orders, seven, eight, and then 13, 14, I think.
Okay. Sorry, when's the ones for the open
You
beta?
can preload it now. It starts Thursday and then goes to Monday.
Okay, is that for the closed or the open beta? Because I can't remember.
The closed, I think, is Thursday, Friday, and then the open is Saturday, Sunday.
Okay. So, yeah, if I get around to doing that, whatever, have some Battlefield impressions, probably talk about some more Expedition 33. What are you going to be playing within the next week?
I'm still looking for my next game. Nothing's really jumped out at me, either on the PC or on Xbox. That's why I downloaded that demo. But it's your generic ninja side scroller hack and slash. I've played 100 of those games. Nothing unique about it.
Right, cool. If anybody's got any suggestions for Rob for games, then throw them our way as well. I mean, my game list is pretty stacked because I'm
Yeah.
gonna probably go from Expedition 33 to when I get sent Death Stranding 2. There's also that I think it's ready, either ready or not already at Dawn. I don't know why I'm mixing those two names up. There's a new like tactical FPS game that's coming
I
out.
think it's ready or not.
I think that's what
I
it's called.
remember
Yeah.
seeing that on my pre-order list. Not on my pre-order list, but like when you launch the Steam program on PC, it has like top pre-orders, and I'll cycle through that to see what's coming up. I don't pre-order games anymore, but I like to see what's up and coming. And I'm like 90% sure it's ready or not. But also with the people listening, throw in random questions. Doesn't have to be relevant to gaming at all, you know?
We've said that before. So, obviously if they, keep them, sensible and whatever. Not that we haven't had any sensible questions, but yeah, any random questions you got for the two of us, throw them our way as well. We're open to that.
Yeah, don't ask for like the color of my underwear or something stupid like that, but anything weird, the more weird the better.
Right. Anyway, thank you all very much for listening. You can find everything else that we do on entertainmenttalk.org for TV, games, films, main art podcasts. So you can check out all those. Next weekend will be a before we know it, so Maynard will be kicking off 17th, I believe that's a Sunday, against Arsenal. We'll see how the hell that goes. I got Fantastic Four to watch. There's an interesting horror film coming out called Weapons. Got my eye on that. New gaming talk next week. Any other podcasts we do? Yeah, just stick around for those. And of course, the rest of the Breaking Bad podcasts and all those sorts of things. Anyway, check them all out, entertainmenttalk.org and podcast platforms, Entertainment Talk for TV, games, films, Maynard podcasts. If you like what you've heard, hopefully you did. If you didn't, let us know. You don't have to like what you've heard, but just tell us why. But if you did like what you hear and you want to hear more, you can support us by going to the place I just mentioned, word of mouth, social media. If someone mentions something we podcasted on, please tell them about said podcast. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers for the ad-free podcast review options. Look for that as well if you'd like to. TV and film news. Geek Town Radio is back. There's been two episodes, one this week and one last week. I guess you can check the both out if you want to. So you can go from here to there and get your latest TV and film news. So check that out. Geek Town Radio is back. And of course, you can still go to geektown.co.uk for all your TV and your film news posts. So there's some stuff over there for that. And you can also find us as well on YouTube for all the video game stuff we post. I did stream Expedition 33. So if you want to analyze the way that I'm playing, although I'm in a bit of a newer bit of the game now. So I can check that out as well if you want to. It was for over 2 hours. I didn't actually realize how long I was live for until I pressed end stream. So that was nice to do. Yeah, so subscribe to us over on YouTube. Entertainment Talk plays for our video game stuff when it's there. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Goodbye.